24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Welcome to Rethinking Mental Health with JC Mears on Bashani Radio out of New York City. Always talking about everything. We can be heard everywhere podcast is played on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, and many more. My name is JC Mears. As I said, I'm a mental health consultant, a systemic creative therapist, and today we have the honor and pleasure to be talking to Dr. Nicole Erna Mae Frances Cotton. I had to make sure I get all her names in because names are powerful. She is the lovely and victorious and visionary in the Victorious Living Foundation out of St. Martin, another island lady talking about mental health. Welcome, Dr. Frances Cotton. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Janelle. It is my pleasure, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us. So today I want to talk, so I have this kind of way of opening up when we're talking about mental health for people who are in the profession. Can you share a little bit about who you are and what drew you to the profession, especially as we talk about rethinking mental health?
Okay. So as you mentioned, I am Dr. Nicole Erna Frances Cotton. And, you know, I want to define my name. So since you love names, Nicole means victory of the people.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Erna Mae means miracle worker. Frances, free one. And so I am a victorious miracle worker who is free in Christ. Wow. And on the obligation to no one but to love them.
Wow.
So that's just a one whole sentence, right?
See why I love names and the why we must discuss names.
So let me give you a bit of a journey. At age 8, my parents relocated from Antigua, where I was born and my family lineages, and we relocated to St. Martin. And of course, being homesick, wanting to be in Antigua, not wanting to move, but as a child, you have to go to your parents' school. So at age 11, one day I found myself having just grief. I just started to cry, and and I didn't understand what was going on for me at the time. And then I realized that it was actually as a result of an incident that happened when I was 6 years old, where I was actually sexually assaulted by an older boy in one of the classes while I was walking home from school. And I didn't realize at that time that the impact that it had on me, that it carried from 6 to age 11 until that day when I broke down crying, homesick, but also dealing with these issues. And my sister coming at the right time to be able to comfort me. And during that moment, I learned the power of forgiveness.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I learned the power of forgiveness because in my mind, 11-year-old mind at the time, I also felt as if not enough was done to address the perpetrator.
Okay.
However, truth be told, I actually, through the help of my sister again, at that time when I was at home in Antigua, I took a stick and hit the guy with it. A few days after the incident. So there was stuff that was done, but in my mind as an 11-year-old, that was the situation. So fast-tracking it, at that point, I realized at 11 that forgiveness is a powerful tool that God has given us to heal ourselves. And when I examine a lot of the people come to see me, or even persons I see on the street who have, quote-unquote, gone mental, if you were to really investigate a lot of these persons, they are carrying burdens that they have not released because of somebody that has hurt them, someone that has done something to them, but it is all bottled up on the inside of them. And so now it becomes a situation where very often mental health practitioners go to medication or other such forms without getting to the root of what was really stimulating that person. And so for your theme, rethinking mental health, I think it's so vital because sometimes it's a very simplest of things.
Yes.
Why people would just lose it.
Yeah. And thanks so much for sharing and opening with that, because I think one of the key concepts of understanding your mental health is your ability to be authentic in the moment and with the person you're in the moment with.
Definitely.
Yeah. So tell me why you think mental health is so important to the work that you do. Because obviously you hear a lot of things, you see a lot of things. What makes it important for you?
Well, number one, I believe that every single person comes into this earth with a purpose. Mm-hmm. Every single person comes into this earth filled with skills and talents and gifts that just need to be mined to be able to birth it into reality. Mm-hmm. And I also have to look at myself because, you know, if we can't look at ourselves while looking at how we can impact others, then we are not really being real.
Yeah.
And again, as a young person, I used to be very shy, extremely shy. So shy that when people would come to my parents' home, I would run inside the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I realized when I went to University of Tampa to do my bachelor's in psychology. At the time, even though I had, when I finished school, I was a junior reporter. You know, I was shy, but yet I knew that there was a call for me to go into this this field of media.
Yeah.
And I was able to interview some very influential people and write some great articles, but yet I didn't believe in myself, right? And going in at the University of Tampa, I was in the honors program, but yet I wondered, how in the world did I get in this program? How did I end up in this place? Because I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was smart enough. And again, this was another transformational moment for me because my faith is very strong. I think I'm one of those persons who came out of the womb just loving me. Right? And so during the time when I was at University of Tampa and I was on the honors floor and I was sitting with these other people who were part of the honors program, I said one day, I said, how did, I don't know how I got here. And I questioned myself. And then God dropped in my spirit as I think, so I am,
yes.
Right? And my whole thought process was what would make or break me. It would give me success or give me failure.
Yeah.
And that semester when I went to the University of Tampa, out of everyone on the floor, only a few of us actually made the dean's list, and I was one of them, and made it every single semester and every single year, made the national dean's list, because I began to understand that I had a very vital role to play in my results, mm-hmm. the way I see myself, the way I think about myself. So University of Tampa was a very pivotal time in my life, but helping me to understand that the way I see myself is the way other people would see me.
Yeah.
And the way that my life would evolve into something beautiful or something painful.
Yeah.
And so I chose to change the way I think. And that in and of itself is what is going to be the pivotal thing in reference to mental health and how people see themselves. Because sometimes, most times, the reason why persons end up doing the things that they do that hurt themselves is because they don't value themselves.
Yeah, definitely. You know? I have a saying called faith it till you make it versus fake it till you make it.
I like that.
You don't want to be fraudulent, like trying to make it, but you want to be confident in trying to make it and knowing that you do have what it takes, as you said, to be successful. Or if you are going to fail first attempt in learning, you're actually going to learn something in that approach.
Exactly. And actually, I'm glad you mentioned faith it till you make it, because this morning I had to preach, and my message was, it's going to take faith in order for you to, you know.
There you go. Faith it till you make it. All right. So who do you think taught you about mental health? And your journey, you know, who've been your life coaches, your purpose-driven mentors in this process of mental health?
And when you said, how far are you talking about?
Any. I think there's no experience that hasn't been valuable. I just believe that when we can take a moment to purposely pause, we can really reflect on the fact that these situations have impacted our lives, and this is how we've grown from them.
Well, I would say, as I mentioned, those formative years, it's really been a journey with myself and God. Mm-hmm. And him highlighting to me various aspects of myself and vicariously watching people and seeing how their lives have evolved and making conscious decisions that, you know what, I'm looking at this, I don't want this in my life. Mm-hmm. Sit out, this is what I want instead. Yeah. All right. And I consciously make those decisions.
Okay.
Now, in reference to older yet, my more recent years, I would say someone that played a very vital role as well was my counseling supervisor at Oral Roberts University. Mm-hmm. And his name is Arthur Tigney. And during the time that I did my counseling supervision with him, that's where I did marriage and family therapy.
Yay!
Yeah, during that time, I was challenged. I was challenged to really confront myself.
Okay.
And to face my own internal giants, as you would say, and become comfortable with emotions.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember during those times, and this was like 98 to 2000 when I did that program, I remember sometimes going home crying because you stirred up some stuff.
Yeah. Being a therapist is hard stuff.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
it is.
So those times, I would say, were very powerful times because I said, Lord, why did you create emotions? Why did we have to feel?
Yeah.
You know, what's the sense? But I have since come through the journey to truly love and appreciate every single part of it, even the painful ones.
Yeah.
Because it's through those challenging times that we really get to understand who we are and the powerful beings that God has created us to be.
Definitely. And after you left, and shout out to all the marriage and family therapists who are listening, and systemic thinkers that are listening as well too. After you left and you realized that you were being challenged in understanding your mental health, how soon did you create your Victorious Living Foundation?
Okay. Actually, very soon. before I went to Oral Roberts University, I had started a nonprofit organization in St. Martin called Socially Acceptable Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I was 21 at the time when I started it. And during those years, we had lots of great stuff that we're doing as young people. And it was a very vibrant youth culture. And I remember that when I left to pursue my studies, it was in good shape. You know, there were issues, but nothing as huge to think about. So when I graduated from Oral Roberts University, I took a year and I did some practice at the psychiatric hospital. And then I went on for another year to assist a cousin of mine in his ministry. So I wasn't actually doing any counseling after that. But then in 2001, that's the year that I returned, I said I had to come back for a visit to St. Martin. And I looked around my community and I was like, what happened in the space of 1998 and 2001?
Yeah.
I just returned. I couldn't understand it because I left a vibrant youth culture when I came back. I looked on the block. I saw lots of young men. I looked in their eyes. There was like blank face, hopelessness. And I was like, I just couldn't understand it. So I knew I was going back to the States to assist my cousin with his ministry. And I did not want to go back to the States because my heart was for St. Martin and the Caribbean region.
Okay, so it's time to take a pause for Rethinking Mental Health, and we're going to come back with that story and how you actually draw some more victorious-living situations.
Thank you.
We got 20 seconds. Alrighty, so we are back Rethinking Mental Health, and if you stepped away, we are talking to Dr. Nicole Erneme Francis Cotton. And Dr. Francis, you were sharing about how you saw your society changing.
Yes. So with that change, my heart said I needed to stay. Then Martin and Caribbean. And I said, Lord, if it's your will for me to stay, close the door for me to go back to the States. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
The door is closed. And in about 2 months after that, I decided to just see God in prayer. And I took a week of prayer and fasting. And at the end of that week, that was when the vision for Victorious Living came. And it's to transform, to empower, to enlighten, and to reconcile persons, whether it's individuals, families, couples, communities, nations, to God and to each other, and to demonstrate that we can live victorious lives by the power of God. And so we started in April of 2002.
Wow.
That's when Victorious Living started, and now we continue to grow and to grow. And we have grown significantly, and the best is yet to come. Because
yes.
The vision that was planted in my heart in 2005, the vision of Victorious Living Oasis, with an oasis in the midst of lots of everything taking place, that is something that we're currently working on. You'll hear more about it.
Wow. So, you're 24, 25. Tell listeners about how your mental health is truly impacted as a result of taking on that monumentous task, coming back with this information. And as I listen to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like I'm meeting my twin, you know, because I came back at 24. This is what I'm doing. So tell them a little bit about how your mental health truly was impacted as you started to grow your vision.
Actually, when I started Victorious Living, I was 28 at the time.
Okay.
And all I knew is that this calling that I had was not going to go away. And I had to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so when I started Victorious Living and I brought together my parents, my sister, brother-in-law, and one of the old mentors. She mm-hmm. was up in age at the time. Together, we got together and decided we're going to move forward with it. Mm-hmm. I remember having a dream before we actually started where I was maneuvering a huge school bus, mm-hmm. right? And in maneuvering the school bus, there were people watching me like, what in the world is this girl driving the school bus? And of course, transportation usually means your ministry or your vocation.
Yeah.
When you dream about that. And what has happened from the time I had that dream until it's now what, 17 years of executing the first living, we have seen so many lives change, so many lives transformed. I developed a mentorship program, pilot program, and in the first 2 years, I actually did it with no money.
Wow.
Because when I started the foundation, I had zero money. I just had a dream and a passion to see people's lives transform and help to mobilize people, because the foundation scripture of Victorious Living is actually Nehemiah. I don't know if you know the story of Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Where the walls were broken and he went and gathered the people and helped them to see, look, this is how it is.
Yeah.
This is how it could be. And let us work together.
Yes. That's what it will be.
Exactly. And this is literally what I had to do. And so that big bus that I saw turning around, we had to do lots of maneuvers along the way. And we helped, I developed this mentorship program that encompassed not only mentorship, but also parenting, training, coaching, and counseling for the children after school, work to help them with their homework, social activities, physical activities. And through that, young people whose lives would have been forever, you know, drastically negatively impacted, their lives were changed. So I had a young man, also a teenager at the time. He was getting in trouble with the law very frequently, to the extent that the public prosecutor decided that they wanted to deport him, even though he was born in St. Michael.
Yeah.
Never been to the origin of where his parents came from. That's where they wanted to deport him. Mm-hmm. And we said, no, let us work with him. And today, this young man, not only is he grown, he has his own business in the marine industry, has his own child. I mean, he's doing extremely well for himself. Mm-hmm. The other day I was selling an apartment and he didn't know who it was. He sent me a message. He would like to see it.
Yeah.
There he was, you know, going to purchase his own home.
Wow.
You know? And then we've had other young men, like one in particular, who he had actually broken his mom's jaw and was very aggressive. And the school had written him off. Society, of course, had spoken badly of him, because how could this boy do this to his mother? But through the work that we did through the program, we helped to work with his mom, his guardian, himself. And today, he is doing extremely well. Mm-hmm. He has gone through so many different courses, and he's in the service industry. And his mom, he and his mom are best of friends.
Wow.
You would never know that all of that took place. So it is so important that we step out to do what we know in our hearts that we have been called to do.
And as I listen to you, I'm really thinking that you created an integrative mental health and relationship model that was really void of pathology and really looking to seek people's purpose and how you can actually get their purpose for the community. So on the show, I usually ask if you can share with my audience three ways in which you practice gratitude daily. Because I think gratitude is one of the biggest proponents for successful mental health, but we don't really teach it. We don't really speak about it. So if you could share with my listeners, I would really appreciate that. Three ways in which you practice gratitude daily.
Okay. Well, first of all, when I wake up, I'm eternally grateful. I give God thanks for another day. And often I would go walking, and during my walks, I would just look around the beauty, and right where I am is filled with beauty. I mean, there's beauty everywhere. So it's so easy for me to be thankful.
Yes.
And even if it weren't, that's just my nature anyhow. Mm-hmm. So I would look at nature and I would just give God thanks for everything that he has done and he's doing. I would really take the time to be present and just enjoy the beauty around me. My husband and I, we often do devotions when we wake in the morning. And so we spend that time, we share that time as well together. Throughout the day, there are times I would just stop and I observe just an insect.
Slow it down.
Exactly. And in doing so, really honor the fact that God is just amazing. The way that he has created us, the beings that he has made us. I think a lot of times people take for granted the fact that we're even breathing.
Yeah.
When I examine how we have been created, I don't think enough people do that. So,
yes.
Those are just some ways that we do that.
Definitely. So we're almost out of time, but I want to give you an opportunity. I know, right? We got to make this hour. I want to give you the opportunity to share what your next vision is. And for our listeners to actually, if they wanted to see you, contact you, join you on your journey, where could we find you? And what's next for Dr. Nicole Ernie Mae Francis Cotton? I love calling your full name.
Okay. Well, there is so much, as I'm also an author, and my last book is called Love is Forever, and Love is Forever is on sale. Persons can go online and look it up on Amazon or on, but just type in Love is Forever.
Love it, yeah, we'll tag them in, yeah.
And you'll be able to read that book because it's actually a book from a very dear friend of mine. She's 100 years old.
Saw that. And there's nothing like learning mental health from the persons who are.
Exactly. 100 years old. And you can learn a lot from her. And I believe that in the coming year, as it pertains to that, I'm going to be doing some tours around Mothers Forever. Why? Because increasingly more and more persons are divorcing, and our family situations are really not the way they should be. And it's about inspiring hope in people that your marriage, your relationship, they can last. And not just last, but thrive.
Yes.
And that is definitely what we'll be doing. My husband's, his show is Love and Inspiration. So we want to merge that together to see how we can really help to cultivate healthy relationships. And going into the relationship route is, again, we're also going to be doing couple intensives. So marriage weekends, whereby it would have taken like several weeks in order to go deep with a person who might come once a week. But we will do intensives to help couples who are really struggling in their relationship, whether it's a betrayal, whether they feel resentful, frustrated, or whatever, that we are going to go in a beautiful hideaway villa and allow persons to just retreat in a group of four couples.
Yeah.
And then individually, and that in and of itself is another way of building relationships. And in addition to that, lifestyle prescriptions. Just 1 minute I have left. I want you to go to lifestyleprescriptions.com aidsaids.info/St. Martin. And when you go there, you can also book a consultation with us, a free one, to learn more about how you can find the root cause of your disease, because I believe that is where we really need to go. What is the root? Not just symptomology, but going to the deep of what's going on the inside of you.
So thank you so much, Dr. Nicole Francis Cotton. Next time we do this, we're going to pick up on this ease concept, because that's also how we can reshape and rethink mental health, so people can really can get a greater understanding of how we are actually being taught and what we need to change to shift the narrative. So I want to say thank you for listening to Rethinking Mental Health, the show on Bashani Radio out of New York City. And remember to update your perspective in order to change your narrative.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.